Father, we thank you. We appreciate you, Lord. Such a privilege to be in your service. Such a privilege to be served by you, Lord. We just look forward to whatever you'd have us to receive this morning. We trust in you. We believe in you. We rest in you. Just pray that you'll have your will now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Luke 6:43. Let's turn to the precious word of God to Luke 6:43. This morning I feel so humbled in the presence of God. Because I know that if God doesn't do it, I'll walk away from here this morning feeling like, wow, man, that was a bummer. And if God does, I'll walk away thinking, wow, man, God was there and he ministered. You know, it's just neat to be so dependent on someone so wonderful as Christ. Amen. Every day we need to feel like we're just, you know, just lost in his hand. Whatever, if he doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. Amen. No matter how fancy we might be or how educated or what we might prepare, I could take and prepare for 3 weeks a sermon and blow it out in 30 minutes if God doesn't take charge. You know that? I've learned that a long time ago. When I first started preaching, I used to spend at least 10 hours, you know, 5, 10, 15 hours sometimes studying and preparing. I'd have a book of notes, everything there. And it blew my mind how sometimes I'd have it so well prepared and it still goes so lousy. And then God, you know, would keep me busy and I'd come in at the last minute and he'd throw something on me and I'd say, ugh, boy, I don't have anything ready. And it just came out so right. He's the one, isn't it? Man, he is the source of life, source of all things. I'm anxious to see what God has for us this morning. Praise God. This is what I have for you. That's it. How would you like to depend your life on that? How we can read that? You know, the bane, this and that and the other. That could, I don't know how that's going to come out. Praise God. But we're going to find out. Amen? Luke 6:43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree, sorry about that, bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Here we find in God's holy scripture a principle of fact, a reality, that we all are a branch to a tree, and all of us are bearing fruit. And if the source of that fruit is God, the tree of life, then the fruit's going to be good and wholesome and not corrupt and spoiled and rotten with worms in it. But if we are a branch on any other tree, if we are a branch on the tree of self, or if we are a branch on the tree of this life, and that is the source of our being, then let me tell you something. We still will bear fruit. But that fruit will be corrupted, will be rotten, will have worms, parasites within it. We are a branch on some tree, and we are bearing fruit. And there are people around us on a daily basis that are partaking of our fruit. Did you know that? People partake of your fruit on a daily basis. If it be a husband, if it be a wife, a girlfriend, boyfriend, children, parents, people are eating from your tree, from your branch, from your fruit. Think about it. If I wake up in the morning and I am irritated, if I'm frustrated, if I'm angry, if I'm selfish, how many think that someone might partake of my fruit that day? Do you understand what I'm saying? How many of you have ever been around someone that's so tense and frustrated that you felt influenced by that? How many have ever been there? Think about it. We are trees, aren't we? And we offer people our fruit. You know, when I go to a grocery store, I look at the fruit. And I tell you, it's a beautiful experience to pick up a peach or some other fruit and bite into that. And I tell you what, it's just right. You know what I mean? And you just sink those teeth into there and the juice just runs into your mouth. And I tell you what, it's a beautiful experience to partake of a good fruit, isn't it? And that's the way it is one to another. When you're around someone that's got love in their heart, pureness and goodness, they just make you feel valuable. They make you feel good. They influence your day. And each of us are someone else's fruit, someone else's nourishment. In Romans 7:5, it talks about fruit unto death. Let's look at that. Romans 7:5. We have fruit. This fruit will bring forth death, or this fruit will bring forth life. 7:5 says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. We bring forth fruit into our own death and to other people's death. We can add to it. Who are you today? Who are you? Want to look out here? And I say, I look at Lee. And she's a beautiful person. I can look. It'd be interesting if I could do this. I could trace where she came from. Okay, now I'm speaking symbolically here. So, you know, who is Lee? I could find Grandma in Lee, probably. Did you know your grandmother? You ever meet her? If I could analyze Lee and separate all her characteristics and I knew her grandmother, I could find a trace of Grandma in Lee. A trace of Grandpa. A trace of Mom. A trace of Dad. A trace of a teacher. Do you have a specific teacher in your mind that you remember specifically? Don't I have it? So no, they didn't influence you that much. How about a neighbor? How about a clerk? How about someone in the store, you know? How about a husband? Or I could find a trace of Bob in you if I could look hard. Do you think so? You see? We become what we've nourished at, what we've received from. Other people have been fruit into our lives, have been a source of life or death to us, the negative and the positive within us, and we become that to others. We can criticize, we can be negative, we can see things from a negative viewpoint, we can express that, and we're poisoning the mind that we're expressing it to. Or we can see the positive. Have you ever been sitting there and someone been criticizing someone? And you point out something positive in that person? They go, oh, hey, I never looked at it that way. I never seen that. What you've done, you've given them some life. You've given them a way to see something in a positive light. Amen? Let's turn to John. Well, let's see, Ephesians 5:9 talks about fruit unto goodness. Here we talk about in Romans 7:5, fruit unto death. But in Ephesians 5:9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. So there is a fruit. There's a fruit that brings about goodness in people and righteousness and help them see truth. Help them experience life or death. And we make that difference in people's lives. In John 15, we have a tremendous encouragement from the Lord. John 15. It even tells us that if we don't bring forth good fruit, that we'll be cut off. It's the insinuation here that a tree or a branch that does not bring forth fruit, it's talking about good fruit, will be cut off. And let's read here in John 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God is the source, isn't he? We're plugged into a source of life. And God expects us to allow his personality to be expressed in our life and bring forth his fruit. If we refuse to be this expression of God, then God will cut us off and let us go plug into some other tree. If we are a lost sinner, not claiming to be a Christian, not even involved in Christ, but we're living out here in a world and our lives are disastrous and terrible and ugly and unfruitful in goodness, but very fruitful in darkness, we're not really hurting God. We're just proving that when you don't plug into God, it don't work. Right? The person down there that's a drunk, that's beating his wife this morning and molesting his children and stealing from the neighbor and doesn't go to church, he is not hurting God. He is not hurting the ways of righteousness. He's proven that the ways of sin just don't work. The threat God has is the person's here this morning. Hi. And you woke up this morning full of sin, criticism, ugliness. You're a branch that's joined itself to Christ, or been joined to Christ, but you're bringing forth ugly fruit. Proving that God's ways just don't work, that when pressures get tough enough, you're going to crumble. When temptation becomes juicy enough, you're going to give in. When the pressure's on, God can't see you through it. You're going to crumble, become evil, be conformed by the world. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says if you don't bring forth some good fruit, that God is going to cut you off and let you go ahead and prove his ways right from the other side. He can prove his ways right. He can glorify God either way. He can do nothing against the truth, the Bible tells us. The only thing the truth is threatened by is angels of light. Now, what is that? How many feel kind of discouraged? Let's get out of here now. How many's ever thought, well, if I can't be a good Christian, I won't be one at all? How many's ever thought that? Say, come on, let me see real big. Boy, it sounds like I'm going to re-encourage that this morning. Everybody's going to go out here and decide to fall away because you can't be a perfect Christian, right? No, because that's not exactly what I'm saying. I can get up in the morning and be an old grizzly bear. Honey, I hope I've never been that. Okay. And I can look at her and go, and say, and then catch myself in a little bit here and say, oh, babe, I'm sorry. Man, that's not what I want to be like. Would you forgive me? Now, that's the way of righteousness, isn't it? How you deal with your failure proves God right too, doesn't it? Because when a man failed, God says, okay, I'll forgive you if you repent, right? There, you can prove God right even in your failure as well as your success, as long as you handle your failure correctly, that you respond with repentance, with sorrow for the negative in your life. You know what a person does if they're following the way of Satan when they make a mistake? They try to prove themselves right. They try to defend themselves. They become defensive and justify themselves and blame it on everybody else. Boy, I had a bad day because my boss was bad, and my wife was mean, and my kid wouldn't clean the house, and my neighbor, you know, the trash got scattered all over my driveway, and the cop gave me a ticket. That terrible cop gave me a ticket. All I did was run a red light. Didn't he know I was in a hurry? I mean, everybody's wrong. It ruined my day. Justify it. What are you saying, that the Satan's ways were stronger than God's? The power of Satan in other people's life is stronger than the power of God in your own? You see, how you deal with your failures, how you deal with your mistakes, prove God right or wrong too in the eyes of all creation. It's okay to make a mistake, but when you make a mistake, face it. Amen? Humble yourself. Be repentful. That's the way of God too. There is a way of God that deals with failure. There's a way of God that deals with success. There's a way of God that deals with acts of victory and also that of failure. God's way deals with sin as well as righteousness, amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, let's see how many heads go this way. Okay, let's go. Okay. See, I'm getting communicating. I want to make sure I'm communicating. But we, even in our mistakes, can become a fruit of life. Even if I blow it and I get mad and take my fist and ram it through the wall. How many's ever done that? I right there can become a fruit of righteousness and a goodness on how I deal with that mistake. I can turn to my wife and say, honey, you're the reason why there's a hole in that wall. Don't you ever forget it. Every time you look at that hole in the wall, I want you to remember how much you bothered me today and how much you made me do that. If it wasn't for you, I would have never done that. You're guilty. That's one. How much ever you'd try to blame everybody else? Next day you come in, there's a hole in the wall. You say, yeah, you see that, wife? You're the one that caused that hole in the wall. You know? That's not the way to deal with our mistakes, amen? Even in my failure, I can be a tree of life to someone else. I can cry and I can be repentant. I can say, honey, I'm sorry. It's not the way I want to be. Forgive me, please. Amen? Here in John 15, let's go on. And verse 2, it says, it talks about bearing this fruit. So if you don't bear this good fruit, then you can be taken away. Now, some of those people who don't believe in, and those who believe in eternal security, I'd like to know what they do with this verse. Okay? Because here it says that he's a vine. Okay, Jesus is a vine. And we're a branch. And we're in him. And it says if we don't bear fruit, he's going to cut it off. Throw it away. Okay, now the next thing I want to emphasize here, that he's going to purge it. If we do good, God's going to purge it. How many of you feel like the more you try, the worse it gets? The more you try, the worse it gets. I give my child an inch, she takes a mile. Give my wife a mile, she takes 2 miles. How many of you ever thought that way? I'm patient, and they step all over me. Give them a cheek, and what do? They slap it, right? So we do something good and we get socked right in the old kisser. I hope it's a kisser. Why? Why does it happen that way? Why doesn't God protect me? Why is it that good people get trampled all over? Why? Doesn't seem right, does it? Doesn't seem fair. Listen, if you got a fruit, if you got a fruit that's going to prove God glorious, if you got a fruit that can actually be seen as of God, wow, Doris is a Christian. Oh, boy. All the problems in the world are going to fall right upon her now. When you stand up and testify and say, I haven't lost my temper in a year. Praise God. God has done it. God has cleansed me of my temper. It's been a year since I lost my temper. Why is it the next week you have more things upon you than you ever dreamed possible? Why is it people get afraid to testify? How many's ever been there? How many can relate to what I'm saying? Why is it? Why doesn't God protect you? Is the devil so strong that he comes in there and says, oh, you testified now. You're going to get it now. Some of you are afraid to testify because you're afraid the devil's going to get you afterwards, right? Why is it? Here's why. When you stand up and say, God is so great that he's taken this ugly fruit from my life and replaced it with something beautiful, that is a beautiful opportunity for God to take and purge that and even make it stronger and make it a greater testimony. If I say that I have a gift of love within me, the patience say, and then next week I have 20 kids to babysit, you know, and everybody just testing my patience, it's a beautiful opportunity for me to say, God is great. Come on, test me. Test my fruit. Because it's the fruit of God. It's the way of God. It works. It'll withstand the pressure. We don't want to be tested. If we say we have patience, we hope the next week that nothing tests it. Right? If we say we've learned to resist temptation, we're hoping next week that we don't have any temptation. If we say that I've lost that anger, that God has replaced that anger with something beautiful, we don't want anything to test that our temperament. Right? What is wrong with us, Christians? We were created to glorify God, to prove him right. We are created to prove that God's ways prevail over evil. We have been created to prove that God is patient and his children can be patient and that patience pays off. Right? We have been created to prove that God's love overcomes a multitude of sin. Now listen, most people read that as this way. I won't use this example this morning. Tim. Oh, he's a sinner. He's out here sinning. I love him anyway. Love covered a multitude of sin. I mean, he's been hurting Tessie. He's been hurting Daniel. He's been hurting Jack. He's been hurting Paul. I love him anyway. Aren't I nice? Isn't that nice? You just get your hands off me, you bum. Oh, my love can cover a multitude of his sin as long as the sin is against someone else. But let those multitudes of sins be towards me, my love gives out. Get the point? Now, you never forget that. I know it's kind of silly, but you never forget it. Right? Oh, love covers a multitude of sin as long as everybody's hurting someone else. But when their evil turns on you and that sin turns on you and it stabs you in the back, it cuts your throat, when it starts picking your pocket, when it starts criticizing you, when the multitude of that person's sin, you find it upon you, now I want to see if your love will cover it. See the difference? We can forgive a sinner as long as he's not sinning against us. No. God's love, a fruit in my life, will cover a multitude of sin, even if that sin is directed towards me. Even if that sin is hurtful towards me or my loved ones. Even if that sin betrays me. See the difference? Now, is that love real? Is that fruit real? Is it strong? Is it powerful? Does God's ways work? Can you be patient in life? Can you be long-suffering? Can you be gentle? Can you be kind? Can you be loving? Can God, in the face of all the evil of this world, cause you to be that way? Will these fruits endure? Is God greater? Is he not great? Is he powerful? Is he not? You are determining that in the eyes of creation by how it stands up in your life. My parents are mean to me. I'm going to be rebellious. Oh, boy, God's so strong, isn't he? My parents just destroyed my life. Boy, Satan's powerful. God's so weak. Right? I like to see you say, in spite of what's happened to me, I can live for God. Amen? I like the parents to be able to say, in spite of my renegade kids, I can live for God. In spite of all the disappointment, I have joy. In spite of all these terrible things, I am victorious. Because Christ is my tree of life. He's my source of fruit. Amen? So why is it, Chris, when you stand, and I'll use this example because it's a good example. Why is it when you stand and make a great testimony, I've had a lot of people come to me and say, oh, poor Chris. They feel so sad for you, Chris. Aren't you glad they love you? But because you stood and gave a great testimony here a few weeks ago. But then that next week it was tested, wasn't it? and it looked like you might have blown it. No, you didn't blow it. You had an opportunity. See, an opportunity. Either way Satan goes, you got an opportunity. If you stand firm and you don't lose your temper, it's a victory. If you lose your temper, you come back and say, yeah, I'm sorry, it's a victory, right? Victory either way. Because it's your attitude. It's going to prove God right or wrong in failure or success. You see what I mean? There's a character of God to deal with it either way. There's an attitude to express when you're down or up, when you failed or succeeded. You can glorify God either way, in forgiveness or in victory. Amen? So, do we want to be tested when we testify? Yes. When we say, God's given me patience, do we want that patience to be tried? Yes. Because he will purge the fruit. He'll purge the vine. He'll take and he will cause it to bring forth more fruit. Job was doing a great job, wasn't he? Did the devil come and get Job because Job was doing such a bad job? Is that the way that story goes? The devil comes up to God and the devil says, I'm going around doing whatever I want to do. And God says, well, look at Job. He's such a louse. Why don't you go down and bother him some? How many believe that's not the way it went? How many believe that Job was doing a pretty good job? Then he got it more, didn't he? So he'd have an opportunity to prove more because God trusted him. Job earned opportunity for a greater test. Isn't that neat? That's not the whole story, but that's part I'm going to emphasize for now. If the devil socks it to you, praise God. It's a greater opportunity to prove that God's ways do work. That in the midst of it all, you can come through with a God-like attitude without becoming conformed to this world. The Bible says be transformed, not conformed. What does that mean? There's pressure on me all the time to be conformed to the ways of Satan. To respond in a negative way, in a critical way, in a judgmental way, in bitterness and anger and all those things. There's a pressure on me to be conformed to the evil ways of darkness. But I don't have to yield to that pressure. I can yield to Christ. Amen? And I can respond in a way that glorifies God. Either in saying, I'm sorry, I messed up, or saying praise God, they will take it. Amen? But we all are bearing fruit. Amen? And people are eating of your fruit. Let's glorify God with our fruit. Amen? God's going to purge us. And if he purges us, we can feel honored that God thought we was worthwhile to purge. Isn't that neat? God thought you was a kind of vine or a kind of branch that would really bring forth more fruit if he purged you. Isn't that beautiful? Dear Lord, isn't that wonderful? The pressure's on. God must really believe in you. Because in the pressure, you're going to bear more fruit. And you're going to prove God more glorious. And you're going to get more victories, more blessings. Isn't that exciting? Praise God. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 8, here, and if my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciple. Much fruit, much good fruit, much patience. And the only way you can give much patience is a much trial, right? Amen. Only way your long suffering can be long. Get it? You want long suffering? How many of you have ever prayed for long suffering in the Bible? Fruit of the Spirit, long suffering. A lot of love, a lot of test to that love, amen? A lot of sins to cover, be covered. The more sins you got to cover, the more love you need, right? How many want a lot of love? Good. Then you're going to have a multitude of sins to cover this next week and other people's lives, right? Praise the Lord. Anybody want to add anything to what I said this morning? Let's yield to things in a righteous way. If we fall down in a righteous way. Just don't let Satan affect our attitude. Just don't let him change our perspective. Let's keep it glorious unto God. Praise God. Praise the Lord.